بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, this is the third in the series of khutab that I have been speaking to you about on the subject of Islam and Islamic teachings being valid, being relevant in our modern context. And the series is called Why Islam? And the answer is because Islam works. The purpose of our creation is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What is ibadah? Ibadah is to try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the purpose of our creation is to try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We do that by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by obeying Him in all that we say and do. We do this because we understand that the focus and purpose of Islam is to make us winners in this world and the next. We were also given the additional responsibility of inviting others to this success so that we can become the means of spreading goodness all around. This is the fundamental principle that we must always keep in mind and remind ourselves and others about constantly. Whenever we face a choice, we must remind ourselves to ask one simple question. And that question is, which of these choices will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Islam is very simple for the one who believes. The one who believes is the one who remembers and accepts that he or she will die and will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment to account. I know we all say this, that we believe this, but do our actions reflect this belief? We must ask ourselves this question because on the day of judgment, it is our actions which will speak, not our tongues. Let us ask what our hands and feet will say about what we used to do, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us and said, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. This day we will seal up their mouths and their hands will speak to us and their legs will bear witness to what they used to earn. Islam is very simple for the one who believes. There is a beautiful story about a father doing the tarbiyah of his son. And he said to his son, carry a notebook with you and throughout the day write down in that notebook everything you do. Anything good, anything bad, whatever. Small, big. The son did that. In the night, the father called him and said, did you do what I tell you, what I told you to do? He said, yes. Did you write down everything? He said, yes. He said, now read it out to me. Read out to me what you wrote. Now the son had tears in his eyes. The father said, what happened? He said, I can't read out to you. He said, I did some things good, but other things, I'm ashamed. How can I read that out to you? The father said, one day's work, when I ask you to read out to me, you have a difficulty. Sir, what will you read out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For all your life, all that you did, it is all recorded and Allah will say, Iqra kitabak. Read your book. What will happen? Islam is very simple for the one who believes. Now, brothers and sisters, Islam came with simple but powerful ways of human relations to apply in any context which win the hearts of people and make us influencers. As you listen to these khutab, do reflect on the fact that these bits of advice came to us centuries ago. But many of them are today standard practices in global businesses. And I'm looking at only one aspect of life. As I always say, it is the nature of sugar to sweeten whatever it is added to. And there is nothing sweeter than the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The biggest benefit of that is when the believer, when the Muslim follows it out of his love for Muhammad Rasulullah sallam, that action of his becomes an action of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him in this life and the next. For example, as I mentioned to you before, Rasulullah sallam told us to smile at each other. And told us that a smile is sadaqah. You know and I know that if you smile, it enhances your face value, so to speak. And that smile, even if it is behind the mask, you can still see it. That smile, inshallah, you and I will find in our kitab on the Day of Judgment and on our scale. It will have a weight. All this benefit just for smiling. Abdullah bin Harith radiallahu anhu said, I have never seen anyone smile more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How beautiful and easy is the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which it is our honor and pleasure to follow. Today let us look at two other things. In a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whoever accepts back, whoever takes back what he has sold to a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. Whoever takes back what he has sold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. In my youth in Hyderabad, in India, shops would have big signs. And the sign was, goods once sold will not be taken back. Muslim shops, Hindu shops, anything. Big sign, almost every shop. Goods once sold will not be taken back. And there was another rather funny one. And that was, in God we trust, rest strictly cash. So they didn't take checks and so on. Today, thanks to the entry of multinationals, goods are taken back. Not always with good grace, but they are taken back. Let's think about this and ask this question and say, why did Rasulullah ﷺ tell us to take back what we had sold, even though it might mean a loss of revenue? There's obviously some revenue, because somebody brings something back, it may not be in the best condition, so there is, even if you recycle it, there is some loss of revenue. Why is Rasulullah ﷺ telling us, take that loss, but take back the thing if the person brings it back? Although Islamically speaking, the transaction is complete. Once you sold something to somebody, he paid you, he walked out of your place, that transaction is over. Legally speaking, you have the right to say sorry, goodbye. You bought it, you paid for it, khalas. You don't like it, not my problem. You can actually legally say that. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, leave that legality aside, take it back. Now obviously this is not rocket science, I'm sure all of you understand. Many of you are business people. What happens when you take it back? You get customer loyalty. Customer loyalty is worth money. If you are selling a business, brand value is what? Customer loyalty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, take that little loss because it buys you something which is far more valuable. You get customer loyalty. And then of course, you also get a lot of free publicity, because the person will then recommend you and your shop to other people. Now today you and I know this is standard practice. Practically every business. You go to Costco, you go to TJ Maxx, you go to Home Depot, anywhere. And frankly, between you and me, I mean, I'm allergic to shops and so on. I hardly ever go unless I'm sort of, somebody puts a gun to my head. But in my experience, it is actually simpler to return something than it is to buy the thing. You know, it takes less time, less energy. And that is because people understand that they're not actually losing money. They are gaining something which otherwise they would not have gained. And that is worth far more. Now let's look at another teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which many of us honor more by neglecting than in following. And that is keeping our word, being true to our promises. And in that, I specifically want to talk about the one thing which we do practically all the time, and that's called punctuality. Punctuality. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Now brothers and sisters and elders, we are talking about keeping our promises, fulfilling our promises, keeping our word. And I mentioned to you punctuality. You might say, how is that keeping your word? Well, very simple. Because if you say you're going to do something at a particular time, that is your word. If I say I will meet you at 10 o'clock, 10 is a number, time is a number. And if I don't turn up, I don't come, I don't give you any information, then I have broken my word. Now what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Let's start from there. In Surah Al-Maid, the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. First of all, you and I know that an ayah which begins with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is a hukum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an order and instruction to say, fulfill your promises. If you promise something, deliver. And that's why I said, what happens when we tell somebody that you will meet them at a particular time and you don't? What is happening is that we have broken our word. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, she narrated in a hadith in Tirmidhi, she said, no characteristic was more hateful to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than lying. If a man told a lie in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would continue to feel some unrest in his heart about that man until he knew that the man had repented. In another hadith which is in Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are four characteristics. Whoever has them all is a pure munafiq, pure hypocrite. And whoever has one of them has one of the characteristics of nifaq, of hypocrisy, until he gives it up. And they are, number one, when he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. One of the ways we betray trust is, somebody tells us something in confidence and says, look, this is in confidence, amana between me and you. And the first thing we go and do is, that becomes the basis of our social interactions for next so many days and weeks. And we tell everybody, no, I'm only telling you. That's a betrayal of trust. Second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when he speaks, he lies. I tell you, I will meet you at a particular time, I don't come, I'm lying. Third thing he says, when he makes a promise, he breaks it. Same example. And fourth thing he says, when he disputes, when he is angry, when he has a conflict, he uses profanity, he uses obscene language. You get so angry, you start cursing. May Allah protect us from ourselves, and may Allah protect us from our tongues more than anything else. Final hadith today, Rasulullah ﷺ said, truthfulness leads to righteousness and righteousness leads to Jannah. A man keeps on telling the truth until he becomes a truthful person. Falsehood leads to fujur, and al-fujur leads to Jahannam. That's wickedness and its sins. A man tells lies until he is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a kazzab, as a liar. The amazing thing is, if you think about it, we have a religion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by time. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah did not take an oath by anything else in His creation. He took an oath by time. Our worship, salah, is prescribed at specific times, not whenever we feel worshipful. Our fasting is from a specific time to a specific time. Right? Exact. We say time is money, but we care more about money, but not about time. The Hajj is on specific dates and the rituals are at specific times. Think about this. We say time is money, but time is far more valuable than money. Because money can be replaced, time is irreplaceable. Time can make money, but money cannot make time, cannot buy time. Money can be saved and stockpiled, time passes. And once passed, it can only be regretted, not retrieved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself time, not money. Yet, we are so careless about time, when in fact, we should have been the people to lead the world in treating time with the importance that it deserves. Sadly, we have made the lack of punctuality and breaking our promise to be on time a joke. A very unfunny joke. We talk about Muslim time and Arab time. We say IBM, Inshallah, Bukra Malish. We have even made the term Inshallah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to use as a way of lying. Believe it or not, there is somebody on the internet who teaches conversational Arabic on YouTube. And in this video about how to say, the video is about how, four ways of saying no in Arabic. In the text of this, I have given you the link. Go look at it and put some comments on it. And don't curse or something. They're speaking the truth. So there are four ways of saying no in Arabic. And one of those ways is, say inshallah. This person is teaching this. Say inshallah. Because he says, well, when you say inshallah, you don't mean to do it anyway. So that's a polite way of saying no. Now think about that. Is that funny? How bad is that? And it's not a matter of saying that that person is bad. That person is not bad. That person is only saying what happens. So if you feel upset about that, don't be upset with that person. Be upset with ourselves. My brothers and sisters, to keep your word is about self-respect. It's about being trustworthy. When we habitually break our promises, we are actually saying to the world, I am not trustworthy. I am untrustworthy. I have no self-respect. You should not trust me or respect me. If you do that, you are a fool. Is this what you want to really project to the world? A person's word is their honor. Rasulullah's title, his laqab was what? As-sadiqul amin. The truthful, the trustworthy. The interesting thing which all of you I'm sure know is that even though he had many detractors, many people who were against him, many enemies, And some or many of them spent a lot of time slandering him and trying to character assassinate him, but nobody ever called him a liar and nobody ever called him a cheat. They called him insane, they said Majnun and this and that and possessed by jinn and whatnot, but nobody said he's a liar and nobody said he's a cheat. Even his worst enemies. This is our teacher. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is our teacher. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented to us as the best role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the key to the akhirah is to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his life as a template for our lives and try to be like him as much as possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, which means indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for the one who hopes in the meeting with Allah and who hopes and looks forward to the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. Think about this. Yawmul Akhirah, the day of judgment, has been described in the Quran in many places. Yes? What is that description like? The description is terrifying. The description is horrific. The description is frightening. Right? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the day of judgment as a nice resort you go, you know? No. Fear it. Al-haqqatum al-haqqa. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ. Eh? Who will look forward to that? Who will look forward to that day? And the meeting with Allah is what? Hisab. And Rasulullah said, if Allah takes your hisab, you are finished, you are destroyed. But what is Allah saying here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, take the life of the Nabi alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as your model, as your template, as your role model, and you will be among those who will actually look forward to that day. Why? Because you will be, have different rules for you. You will be protected from the all the horrors and all the dangers and all the problems of the day of judgment. You will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be subjected to whatever is happening on the day of judgment. That's the key to success. And for the one who emulates Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised even more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In Surah Al Imran, Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all of mankind, if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then emulate me, follow me, imitate me. Not obey, emulation. Not ittiba, not itaat. Itaat is understood, itaat has to be done. Ittiba, what's the difference? Itaat, obedience, requires an order. Obedience requires an instruction. Right? If I say to Nabil here, you are not obeying me, what will he tell me? He will tell me, Shaykh, you never told me anything. If you tell me something and then you say, if I don't do that and you say you are not obeying me, it's okay. But you have not said anything to me. You are just saying you are not obeying me. How can I obey? You have not given any instruction. Obedience requires itaat, requires instruction. Emulation, imitation, requires love. Hub, mahabbat. We emulate our role models. We emulate people we love. We like to walk like them, talk like them, dress like them, use the brands they use, have the kind of haircut they have, even though it is haram in Islam in some cases. Huh? My brothers and sisters, you have to emulate somebody, emulate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that, what happens? Yuhbibkum Allah, Allah will love you. Think about that. Get your mind around this thing. What is the meaning of Allah will love you? If Allah loves me, what happens? Boundary condition, minimum, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. It starts with forgiveness of all your sins, which means Jannah is yours. That is the boundary condition. What is the worth of Allah's love? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a hadith of Qudsi in Bukhari, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, then I have declared war against him. Who is the wali of Allah? The one who Allah loves. Whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I have declared war against him. And a slave, and my slave does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than the religious duties that I have obligated upon him, the fara'id. And then my slave continues to draw near to me with the nawafil, with the extra voluntary deeds, until I love him. When I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, and his sight with which he sees, and his hand with which he strikes and holds, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And were he to seek refuge and protection with me, I would surely grant him that refuge. Just ask yourself this one question. What is the value of a dua which will never be rejected? Inshallah. I am not saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. And the way to get there is to emulate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of emulating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that it makes you a winner in this life as well. Tell me, who doesn't like or who will not like a person who's truthful, who's trustworthy, who's noble, who's honorable, who's kind and compassionate, who's generous to a fault, who's always smiling, who's wise, who's helpful? I can make a long list, but this is enough. If you and I become like that, who in the world will not love somebody like that? Even one of those qualities is enough. And if we have more than one, alhamdulillah. So makes us powerful and influential in this life, and we get Jannah. I remind you and myself that the most powerful da'wah is the behavior of the Muslim. Not talking. Living. People listen with their eyes. They don't care what we say until they see what we do. People respect those who deliver on promises. Respect precedes trust, and trust is the foundation of influence and power. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله. لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم. عدوا يستجب لكم. ولذكر الله أكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.